your turn. Glad to have you with us on this rainy Wednesday here in the Washington area. We're going to be talking about the super committee, the super committee that flubbed, I guess, and what that means for you. And then we're going to get into Best Buys and the federal health insurance program. And Walton Francis is sitting here with me in studio, and he's the man who literally, quite literally, wrote the book on the federal health insurance, the Consumer Checkbook Guide. So we'll be getting to that in a moment. But for now, I'll talk with Steve Losey from the Federal Times. Steve, are you there?
I'm here. How you doing?
Hey, good. Thank you for coming on before Thanksgiving. And I know you've been following the super committee, which has not been a fun task at times. And it seems to me it's incredibly confusing.
Yeah, you know, everything just collapsed earlier this week. I was joking that it's Washington's biggest flop since the 1961 Redskins, but at least even the 61 Redskins won one game. The super committee has met for months, and they weren't able to come up with any deal. The issue of taxes and whether and how much to raise revenues and on who completely scuttled the entire the entire super committee discussions.
Well, you know, hindsight obviously is 20/20, but so many people said that both sides were so intractable that it just didn't seem possible that they would come to agreement on anything. And not only did they fail to do it, but they failed to do it early. They gave up a couple of days before their deadline, didn't they?
Yeah, you know, they didn't give up that much early. I mean, today was technically the deadline, but they were going to have to come up with at least something to that CBO could score by Monday. So Monday was, it turned out, was,
oh, was the time.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of gloom and doom stuff out there now. People who were saying, boy, if they come up with these recommendations, federal workers are toast. And the other side said, if they do nothing, a lot of people, including federal workers, are toast. And there's talk about RIFs and continued pay freezes and whatnot. And I know you posted a story yesterday talking about just that very thing, possibility of reductions in force and extended pay freeze.
Yeah, you know, it is very much a good news, bad. The super committee's failure is very much a good news, bad news. The good news, all these things that the super committee has been looking at, such as a high five, increased contributions for your pensions, chain CPI, things like that, aren't going to happen through the super committee. Now, the downside is Congress is now supposed to cut $1.2 trillion through what's called the sequestration process, half through defense, half through domestic spending, and agencies are going to be scrambling to find every dollar they can. And I had lunch with Steny Hoyer on Monday, the House Minority Whip, and he said that it's possible that we could see the current two-year pay freeze extended even more, maybe 3, 4, 5 years. Who knows, really? And it's very possible that we are going to see RIFs or layoffs. It's almost certain we're going to see furloughs. And I would wager dollars to donuts that we see agencies start working towards more buyouts and early outs in 2012 as they start gearing up for the steep cuts that must begin in January 2013.
But January 2013, I mean, in Washington political life, that seems to be a lifetime. You have, in theory, a new Congress going in, taking the oath in that date, and in theory, a new president.
Yeah, that's entirely possible. It is possible that Congress could say, you know what, we're just not going to do this, and undo the $1.2 trillion sequestration, but that would undo the debt ceiling deal that they reached earlier this year, and I think it would cause a lot of people to doubt the United States' ability to willingness and ability to tackle this deficit problem that we have even more than people already doubt it.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, we have Greece and some other places that are making us look good, but that may not last. That may not last for long.
Yeah,
but I mean, it is possible. Of course, they make the law, so they can do anything. But it is not only it possible, but given the ill tempered up there, the partisanship, it's quite possible that nothing will happen, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite possible that they won't come to some agreement, and these cuts do go into effect. You know, the other day, after the super committee threw in the towel, President Obama made a statement where he said, "I'm going to veto any attempt to exempt defense Fitz's cuts. Now, there's several Republicans, including Senator John McCain, who said the sequestration cuts would be so bad for defense that we just can't possibly cut $600 billion. So they're trying to exempt defense. Obama's saying, nope, not going to let that happen. So whether he'll follow through on that, we'll just have to wait and see.
Well, a long time ago when I started covering Capitol Hill and I was quite young, and I made some comment to an editor, and he said, Ace, he called me Ace. He said, Ace, when you're dealing with Congress, don't look for logic.
Yeah.
And he was not being sarcastic, or maybe he was, but he was also being accurate. But it seems to me at a time where one of the major problems in the country, political, economic, social, psychological, is high unemployment, and to be riffing government workers, it seems counterintuitive.
Yeah, that's the argument that a lot of people are making, and it is true that, you know, when we've had in the last couple of months, when we've had the numbers on unemployment have come out, a lot of the unemployment figures, the new people unemployed, have come from state and local government jobs that have been cut. And fortunately for federal employees, they've largely been exempted from that until now. But it could change. You know, last month, Congressman Norm Dix of Washington, he put out a letter. He sent a letter to the super committee warning what the consequences of sequestration would be. His staff crunched the numbers, and they identified at least 40,000 jobs that the federal government would have to cut to meet the sequestration cuts. We're talking, you know, more than 5,300 Border Patrol agents, 9,000 TSA screeners, 3,700 FBI, DEA, ATF, marshals, and federal agents, thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of federal employees who do vital jobs that Congressman Dix says the government wouldn't be able to afford and would have to cut either through RIFs or early outs or hiring freezes. So it's not looking good if these sequestration cuts do go into effect.
Well, do you think that these are not only serious numbers but serious occupations, or is this what's known as a Washington Monument cut, where when an agency is faced with a cut, Interior, for instance, they will shut down the Washington Monument or some other popular tourist attraction until people complain to their congressman. I mean, TSA is a big place. Border Patrol, Homeland Security is a big place, and it would seem like they wouldn't necessarily have to cut the very front line, the people who are at the point of the spear, the agents, that they could cut. They could cut others if they have to cut anybody.
You know, it's hard to say. It's entirely possible that these could be this could be the alarmist estimation. But it's possible that they could try to find these cuts by cutting the back of the book employees. But I think that they're going to have to cut some real vital services that the American people rely on if these cuts, these deep cuts, do go into effect.
Yeah, again, we're in limbo here. We're about to run out of time, but I was sat with your colleague Sean Riley the other day when the Postmaster General spoke and made his plea to save the Postal Service, and it was interrupted by demonstrators from Occupy D.C., and it was interesting because they were chanting reading from their Blackberries. They were their call. But what's your take on where the Post Office is going?
The Post Office is still in a lot of trouble. There's several bills right now on Capitol Hill that would that seek to try to sort that out. And they're right now they're working towards making some of these very steep cuts, about 200,000 jobs reduced, partly through layoffs. So right now they're scrambling to find any savings they can.
So there again, the government is in the position of having to contribute a lot more to unemployment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good. Listen, hey, thank you very much, Steve Losey, for being with us. We'll be talking to you next week.
Thank you.
And we got to have to take a break. We'll be right back here on your turn. I'm talking with Walton Francis about your best health insurance buy.
And deliver government contracts successfully, you need to align with the right teaming partners. Meet Tech Systems. While often behind the scenes, Tech Systems has worked with government agencies and systems integrators for over 25 years. In fact, every year, they deploy over 70,000 IT professionals at over 5,500 client sites nationwide, including more than 65 government agencies. Tech Systems is active across a broad spectrum of government programs and has developed deep relationships who understand what works well and who does it best. Thinking about cybersecurity, working on a cloud computing initiative. Tech Systems addresses critical program gaps related to people, projects, and work functions. Their delivery models scale from staff augmentation to IT project and outsourcing services to support transition, ramp-up, surge, and ongoing program support needs. Learn more at TechSystems.com. TEKSystems.com.
The website of the week is the Google Transparency Report. Now, this site includes an interactive map, so you can click on different countries. The Chinese officials consider censorship demands to be state secrets, so we cannot disclose that information at this time. This can show traffic patterns. If a country blocks internet access, you can immediately see this. You can see if any countries are blocking internet traffic. The Google Transparency Report.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hey Eagles fans, tickets to All American University men's and women's basketball home games in Bender Arena are now on sale. Get them online 24/7 at AUEagles.com or by calling the Athletics Ticket Office at 202-885-TIXX. That's 202-885-TIX. Make your plans now to be part of another historic season in Bender Arena. Catch the Eagles' next home game Tuesday, November 29th against Howard at 7:30 p.m.
Here's Alfred Rivera, Director Computing Services, DISA, on the Federal Executive Forum on Defense Cloud Computing, sponsored by HP.
We're going to have a new process in terms of the acquisition and the policy processes. They're going to change the way we do agile development across the Department of Defense. Mm-hmm. We're going to have in place a technology that allows us to do virtual agile development from development to test to production. We're going to have this coalition of capabilities between our communities that do development.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to Federal News.
No doubt, cloud's promise is appealing. Wary about the return on investments, risks, governance? Let the experience of HP guide you to cost-effective, secure solutions. Cloud solutions are a dynamic addition to traditional IT. Open up new ways to source, deliver, and govern highly scalable and flexible services. HP can help you navigate this new paradigm by blending their hardware, software, consulting, and managed services expertise. Make cloud a viable option for mission-critical needs. Shape your own cloud with HP. Visit hp.com/government/cloud.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit, presented by NITP, has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit, Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
The Federal News Radio Community Spotlight for November is Capital Caring. Are you or someone you love living with a serious illness? Do you have a parent who needs support in their older age? If so, Capital Caring may be able to help. They enable patients and loved ones to make the most of every moment they have together by offering coordinated care, comfort, and dignity. For more information, visit federalnewsradio.com. This message brought to you by Papa John's and Federal News Radio.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey, and my guest in the studio today is Walton Francis, who it's probably safe to say is maybe the busiest man in Washington this time of year. This is your 33rd year, Walter. You're editor of the Washington Consumer Checkbook Guide to Health Plan. So thank you for coming in and being with us.
Delighted to be here,
You've
Mike.
Really been jumping around. I know, doing health fairs and consultations and radio show visits, so we appreciate your time. Got a caller on the line, Rich. Rich, you with us?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, do you have a question for Walt?
Yes, I do. Good morning, Walt. I have a question related to legal separation versus a divorce. I am a federal retiree, and I'd like to know, does a legal separation allow the spouse to retain health benefits? I know a divorce does not, but the language in OPM's handbook for the health benefits seems to indicate that a legal separation does. So I was just curious if you have ever, if what your answer would be for that.
Okay, let me just say, I rate health plans. I'm not a legal expert, and I'm certainly not a divorce legal expert. So I'm going to give you a 98% answer, but you really need to get the definitive answer from OPM one way or the other, or through your lawyer. Divorce is divorce, and by the way, there are circumstances under which a former spouse can keep health benefits after a divorce, for certainly for a period of several years. And there's actually a handbook and a CD-ROM disc or something on that very exact subject that OPM has prepared for lawyers to use. I believe, though, a separation is a separation. It's not a divorce, and you're still married, and there's just no question that your family is covered. You may or may not have the legal right to move to self-only, but I sure wouldn't. You've got a kid, I think.
Right.
And something could happen to your wife. I mean, I actually know some couples who have remained married technically, even though separated for years, precisely over health insurance coverage.
I do, too. Yeah, I do, too. It's not uncommon.
Well,
and there's a section in Walton's book, too, for people who pay the full premium, which would be the case if they are divorced and if this one spouse goes off it. So you might want to take a look at that, too, because you'll be surprised and horrified at the premiums, because the person that pays the full freight will pay the 70% that the government is now picking up.
Well, I realize that, and I did find, I think, the only language that OPM has published on this, but it seems to infer that a legal separation still gives you the coverage, because the last sentence in the paragraph on divorce or separation says, upon a final divorce decree, your spouse is no longer an eligible family member and is not covered under your enrollment.
Correct.
So that paragraph began with saying, even if you are legally separated, your spouse is still considered a family member and eligible.
Sure. Correct.
So and I will call OPM also, but I just kind of wanted to hear from a couple different people as far as...
But what you're reading...
And I'm 98% sure, too, yeah. Okay.
But what you're reading is the definitive document.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, sir. Thanks, Rich. Thanks. Hey, we got one here from Mike Henderson, and he says, I understand averages are averaging extremes, but when a company is several times the average, I mean higher fees, a user would want to know why. I have GHI, and at our health fair, I asked the rep why the rate of increase was high, what new procedures, new classes of operations, new tests, if anything. He had no idea and said these decisions are set by headquarters, but part of it is their experience rated, aren't they?
Yeah, all the plans have to cover the cost of the people who enroll in them. And, you know, this is healthcare costs seem to rise every year on average across the country, public and private, in the range of 5-7%. And everyone's got to, you know, it's got to be paid. This year, in that respect, is a good year for federal employees, because the average increase was only 3.8%, and some plans actually went down. But, yeah, some go up a little more than others, and in any one year, strange things can happen. That's the whole virtue of open season. It's a time to rethink. Are you really in the plan you want to be in, and are there some better buys out there? And there for sure are some better buys that can save, a family a couple thousand bucks.
Yeah, got a question here. The 800-pound gorilla in the room is always the Medicare question. Do I need Part B or whatnot? Here, let me see if I can consolidate these from Richard, from Patricia, from William, Steve, and yeah, that's it. Okay, so we are addressing them. One guy said, Richard says, I won't turn 65 until December 2012, but do I really need to sign up for Medicare Part B when I'm eligible? I'm retired, single, no surviving spouse, 36 years of government. He said, I could really use the extra $1,200, $1,300 a year that I would lose if I signed up. I called OPM and spoke to a retirement specialist, and they said it's my decision. What do you think?
It's his decision.
Yeah.
But let me, a couple of points here. First, since you're not turning 65 till a year from now, wait a year for that decision. Worry now about this year's open season decision. So you can postpone that, and that's point A. Point B, you won't lose the full premium, which is almost exactly $1,200 a year right now, because you'll get something back if you're in one of the national plans, all but one of which guarantee 100% coverage of hospital and physician in or out of network. You will get some costs back. We estimate that on average people get about $400 or $500 back out of that $1,200. So you're not losing all of it. That said, yeah, no, there's no reason you need to get Part B. That Blue Cross plan you're in right now won't turn into a pumpkin the day you turn 65. It'll still be a really fine plan that covers, you know, 90% plus of your costs under almost all circumstances. So I would say, you know, there's pros and there's cons. There's the political insurance of having coverage under two programs in case Congress turns on one of them more fiercely than on the other. But that said, do you really need to have two coverages? One other point, if you really want to live frugally, there is this option, if you have Part B, if you sign up for it, of going into what's called a Medicare Advantage plan. You suspend your FEHBP enrollment and join one of the Medicare Advantage plans. They're a whole lot like FEHBP plans. There's HMOs, there's PPOs, there's fee-for-service. Those are very good deals. They have good catastrophic coverage, and I would certainly take that into consideration. If you want to be very frugal, that's a great option to consider.
Good deal, and he's got a year to mull this over anyhow. Patricia in Salt Lake City, and she says, I have Blue Cross Blue Shield. My husband's on my policy and also has Medicare Part A and B as secondary. He does not like dealing with Medicare because they're slow in paying what Blue Cross Blue Shield does not pay. He's talked to some health companies, and they tell him if they sign him up with Humana, they will be his secondary insurance and will take a monthly fee Medicare takes out of his Social Security check for the premium on him. Does that make sense?
No.
Okay.
There's several things I think are wrong in all that, and so I want Patricia to do a little more homework. Okay, first, if once you're retired and you have Medicare Parts A and B, Medicare is primary, not secondary. So the only way it could be secondary is if her husband's still working. It's unclear from the email if that's the case. Mm-hmm. But if your husband is still working and you're in the FEHBP, you don't want to be signed up for Medicare Part B because you're paying that premium and getting no value when Medicare is secondary. So, you know, right away, be sure you check your situation out. And the time, if you're going to sign up for Medicare Part B, it's when you retire. It's not before. Beyond that, Humana has no, or whatever company she mentioned,
Humana, yes.
Okay. They don't have any particular deal relating to Medicare, okay, that I ever heard of. I'm not going to say they were wrong in what mm-hmm. they said, but I know for sure that all the national plans, there are a few HMOs that give you a little break if you have Medicare. Most of them don't. All the national plans except Blue Cross Basic do give you this wraparound coverage, 100%, and you're not dealing with Medicare. The plan bills Medicare, and they have it set up, so you don't ever see that part of it. And then the plan, you know, sends you a statement, but doesn't bill you because you're not paying anything. So you need to sort out, and a lot depends on whether or not you retired, but don't worry. In general, it's easy to have Medicare and FEHBP. The plans love that arrangement. It keeps their costs down because Medicare is primary.
Here's one from William, and he says, during this morning's show, please ask what's the best plan for an active but soon-to-retire Fed who is retired military and enrolled in Medicare A and B and TRICARE for life. Sounds like he's in good shape.
He's in good shape. TRICARE for life is a great deal. It's actually a better deal than the FEHBP. You can suspend your FEHBP enrollment, just stay in TRICARE, let that cover you for everything. There are a few people who pay for, you know, the double coverage, for pay the extra premium. That's usually because they have problems with the TRICARE network,
okay?
But most people don't. And I say, hey, you're sitting pretty.
Good deal. Okay, need to take a short break. Be right back here on your turn talking with Walton Francis about the best buys for you.
Geico Gecko. Now, as a federal employee, you're probably one for a smart presentation, so I've put together some charts and graphs here. There you go. That will help illustrate the money you could save by switching to Geico. First thing you'll notice is that Geico offers discounts to most federal employees GS7 or above. Now, this is big news. But that shouldn't come as any surprise from a car insurance company that has been serving government employees since 1936. And as you can see on this graph here, it's probably why we're the third largest car insurance company in the nation. Yeah, no, I do actually realise you can't see these, but trust me, they're rather impressive. Especially the 97% customer satisfaction rate. And when you consider it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more, well, all you GS7 employees or above should just contact Geico. Tell them, Mike.
Hey folks, this is Mike Causey, and the Gecko said it best. Most federal employees GS-7, the equivalent or above, could get a discount on their car insurance. Just call Geico at 1-800-947-AUTO, go to geico.com, or visit your local Geico office to see how much you could save.
What is the mission of the National Guard Joint Continuous Process Improvement, CPI, initiative? How is the Guard improving its operations, becoming more efficient, and promoting organizational excellence? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and much more with Colonel Donald Dellinger, Deployment Director of CPI within the National Guard Bureau, next week on the Business of Government Hour.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud, the Marines.
As the single largest generator of jobs for the Department of Defense, Lockheed Martin's F-35 represents more than just innovation and freedom. It's an advanced technology program that fuels our nation's economic engine. As a leading-edge fighter, the F-35 has unprecedented capabilities that will help America and its allies defend freedom. And it's creating direct and indirect jobs for over 120,000 Americans and impacting more than 1,300 suppliers in 47 states across the U.S. Software developers in California, steel workers in Pennsylvania, and engineers in Georgia are all working to secure our skies. The F-35 Lightning II program. Securing freedom, securing jobs, securing America's future. To learn more, visit F-35.com.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I joined the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife.
My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
Thanksgiving dinner could one day go high-tech. A digital revolution in cooking might make even the worst cook's food perfect every time. Imagine if you could vary sugar concentrations from one side of a cake to the other, cook a steak that has both rare and well-done sections, or
you could maybe subtract fat from one part of the meat.
Marcela Quelu of MIT's Media Lab is engineering a machine called Cornucopia that may bring cooking into the digital age.
We believe that one day we're going to be able to manipulate food in the same way they manipulate photos in Photoshop.
Sharing would be easy, too. Quelu says if he made a delicious lasagna, perhaps he could email you the precise digital recipe and
that machine will make this lasagna exactly the way that I've designed it, or you could make adaptations.
Grandma's home cooking or a slight alteration at the press of a button. For more, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome to Your Turn. Mike Causey talking with Walton Francis about best buys for you during this health insurance open season. Walton, it runs until, December 12th.
So we're on the cusp. Two weeks left.
In there, ready to roll. Got an interesting one here from. You mentioned the term earlier. You said political insurance, and I know you said that in the last show. And this Steve Walker wants to know. Says I listened to the show with Walter Francis. Seems that any argument that can be made for not enrolling in Medicare Part B, the two words political insurance will cause most people, including me, to enroll anyhow. And would you explain why you use the term political
insurance? Yeah, it really does have to do with sleeping better at night. The problem is anyone who's eligible for Medicare and FEHEP has two entitlement programs, each with its own set of premiums. And entitlement programs, legal entitlements, yes, but the Congress can change the law. I mean, we just went through the discussion with Steve Losey about the super committee not reaching a certain, you know, an agreement, but that doesn't mean something else can't happen. So there is an argument that if you retain coverage in both programs, you're a little better insulated against something bad happening, one or the other. Actually, the one program I'm sure will change in the future is Medicare. That's the big driver of the government debt and deficit these days, and it's going to get worse, okay? In fact, they've already made changes in Medicare. It's now I call it means tested. They call it income tested. And if you're a retired Fed with an adjusted gross income of $85,000 or more, and then that is not indexed to inflation, you will sooner or later pay a much higher Medicare premium. So the other thing though is you can always rejoin Medicare later, pay the 10% a year penalty. There are a lot of angles here. Best way to summarize what people ought to do is if you really sleep better at night having both programs, then by all means, take Medicare Part B. If you really don't care that much, if you want to be frugal and save, you know, a few thousand bucks a year, depending, okay, then take it. But if you do take it, don't take it if you want to save. But if you do take it, the way to save is to move to a plan with a lower premium that still gives you either the 100% wraparound or at least, you know, such good coverage that you don't need the 100% wraparound. And there are quite a number of plans that give you that option.
What would some of those be? I will answer him.
Some of the local HMOs are really good bargains, with or without Medicare, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Aetna, Open Access Basic, Kaiser Standard Option. I mean, it's almost a no-brainer to be in one of those plans if you're into being in an HMO. Among the national plans, Blue Cross Basic, which doesn't give you the wraparound but is otherwise a superb plan, and so it doesn't give you the wraparound. You can use Medicare Part B to go out of network, even if the plan doesn't give you any special deal, but also GEHA Standard. And if you're eligible, the Foreign Service and Compass Rose plans, with both of which sort of are – Compass Rose is the old CIA plan. If you're in the intelligence and foreign affairs communities, you could join either of those plans pretty much. They both have broad membership possibilities. So those are the plans I'd suggest people take a look at. And by the way, any high deductible plan – with a health savings account, except after you're retired, it has to be an HRA health reimbursement arrangement account. Any of those plans works very well with Medicare Parts A and B, even though you don't get the wraparound guarantee. So there's a lot of good options.
Okay, good. That is good to know. And the sleep at night factor is critical. They tell people who are investing the same way. You know, be as bold as you can possibly be, but if you can't sleep at night with your investments, then that's an insane situation, and you must ratchet back. So if you want a belt and suspenders and a parachute, do that. If you don't, you're okay. Here's one from Bill, an interesting question about concierge service. And my wife and I recently received letters from our primary doctors about whether we would like to join the practice's concierge service. The platinum service is $75 per month each, and the traditional service is $45 per month each, in which they say personalized health care for a small fraction of the cost. Gee, that seems inexpensive to me from what I've heard about these things. But they're saying the Blue Cross representative that we talked to said there is a caveat at the bottom of it listing health care providers stating specifically that concierge service is not covered by the plan's costs. We want to know what you think of this.
But concierge service is this deal where you pay the physicians more up front a significant sum of money. Maybe it's only $1,000 a year. Maybe it's $2,000 or $3,000 a year. And they promise to give you better personalized care. Call them at any time, day or night. And you won't get the answering service and all that, you know, brush off or have to wait in line at their office. So, you know, if you're affluent and you really want better service, that's a fine way to go. But you will not be covered by your health insurance. Okay. They are not going to, those doctors are not going to be in any plans network. That's part of what they're not doing. And of course, by the way, there's other doctors who are not in any plans network who don't charge who don't go the concierge route, but it's the same issue. If you want to use a doctor who's out of network, you may find yourself not being reimbursed at all in many plans, or much less than they charge. So I think it's all a matter of personal preference. If you're still employed, you can use a flexible spending account to make tax shelter some of the money you pay for a non-network physician. But, you know, it's you're paying for all these privileges, and you have to decide if it's worth it to you. There are plenty of plenty. The vast majority of the best doctors are not in concierge or not and are in plan networks. So it's not as if you can't find a fine doctor.
Not like you're buying the best necessarily with that.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Something I always like to bring up. Many people know it. Many don't. You and I have both heard horror stories from people who, for some reason, left the government maybe earlier than they thought. It may have been a riff. Steve Losey was talking about it. It may have been a buyout offer, or they just got ready, had enough. They've been piggybacking on their private sector husband or wife's health plan for whatever reason. Maybe it was less expensive. Maybe it was better. Then they decide, and that's when the federal program really shines, when you're retired. They retire and find out they can't cover themselves or the spouse because of the five-year rule.
So people have to be very careful about that, particularly with the possibility of RIFs coming up. The key thing is you have to be continuously covered by the FEHP program. It doesn't have to be the same plan. You can change plans every year. And TRICARE coverage counts also, but continuously covered for the 5 years before you retire, or you will lose it the day you retire. Furthermore, you have to be in a family plan if you want to protect your spouse against the possibility that you keel over with a heart attack, because if you're self only and you die, your spouse loses insurance that day or, you know, that month.
Right.
So you can find a low premium family plan. I think the high deductible plans with savings accounts are a dynamite way to get a low premium. If you're relatively healthy and if you're covered by some other insurance, okay, why not be in a high deductible plan, pull in a health savings account that may equal or exceed the premium you're paying? It's called, it's not really free health insurance, mm-hmm. but it's very close to it. And that's what a great way to save money and build up a tax sheltered retirement account during the 5 years before you retire. There is a small loophole to the 5 year rule. So it has to do with RIFs. If you are RIFed, okay, it is possible to appeal to OPM to get an exception because, gee, you were really planning to work five more years and now you've lost your job. But, you know, I wouldn't count on that, and it's not the same as a buyout protection either. So be signed up, be safe, keep this coverage for the rest of your life.
And here we are in the middle of the open season, so perfect time to sign up for a low fee. And I call it buying insurance so you can have insurance. What would be some low premium plans that you'd recommend? HMOs?
Kaiser Standard Option is a very low premium plan, very nearly the lowest in the system. One I don't particularly recommend, but it's not bad if you have other coverage. Mail Handler's Value Option is the lowest premium in the system, but it's got like a $500 deductible and some other things that don't make it real attractive. But I think the interesting options are the consumer-driven and high-deductible plans. And in some cases, as I said, the tax-sheltered premium cost you pay may be or is less than the cost, than the amount of the savings account you build up. So GIA has a high-deductible health plan that's very economical. Mail Handlers has a very economical high deductible plan, and I would certainly, and Aetna Health Fund. So those three for the best kind of HSA tax sheltered account.
Now, high deductible, I think we all get because of car insurance, but what's consumer driven?
That's a very similar category. They also have a high deductible, but the savings account you get is not tax, it is tax sheltered initially, but it's not in your name. It's in the plan's name. So if you later change plans and there's a balance, you lose it. Okay. And it's called an HRA account.
Okay. Going to take a short break here on your turn. We'll be right back with Walton Francis.
Please join
the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Hello, this is Peter Bergman. Please join the Salvation Army and Bergman's Cleaning for the 20th annual Share the Warmth Coats for Kids in the Needy Drive. If you have one or more cold weather coats that you can spare, please donate them for this worthy cause by calling Bergman's. Bergman's will refresh and clean and deliver them to the Salvation Army for distribution to the needy of the Washington metro area. Thanks to you, over 490,000 coats have been collected in the past 19 years. Please make this year's a success by calling Bergman's at 703-247-7600. Thank you.
If you're a federal employee, it's time to choose your health insurance plan. So now's a good time to know about a different health plan that actually rewards you for living healthy. It's called Healthy Blue, and it's the next generation of health benefits from CareFirst Blue Choice. Healthy Blue rewards you with no-cost office visits, x-rays, lab tests, and preventative screenings, plus no referrals. And how's this for a reward? After switching to Healthy Blue, families can earn up to $700 towards their deductible and individuals $300. Healthy Blue is a new and positive approach to health care, and it's one more example of how committed CareFirst is to working with you and your doctor to help you on the road to good health. Visit HealthyBlueRewards.com to see how easy it is to earn up to $700 now and save even more through the years. Then take greater control of your costs and your health by choosing Healthy Blue from CareFirst. You, your doctor, and CareFirst. A healthy relationship.
From the CareFirst Blue Cross Blue Shield family of healthcare plans, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association, some no-cost benefits and rewards are only available through your Blue Choice PCP.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
The Department of Veterans Affairs says a new system for tracking the development of technology projects has led to huge gains in on-time delivery of IT systems. VA introduced the Performance Management and Accountability System in 2009. Back then, it was only delivering 30% of its IT projects on schedule. But in new results just announced for 2011, VA says it met project milestones on 89% of its projects. And the ones that missed the milestones delivered within the next 2 weeks.
General Dynamics Information Technology is dedicated to providing the latest, highest quality information technology services and resources to help organizations meet their mission objectives. Large-scale IT systems and communications networks are the strategic and operational heart of defense, intelligence, civilian government, and private business. They require the expertise of a company that delivers results. General Dynamics Information Technology, information technology and professional services. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
It's about smiles. It's about laughter. It's about going out and making a difference in the life of a child. You don't have to get mad. You just have to go mad. GoMad2011.com is a website dedicated to supporting the Make-A-Wish Foundation. At GoMad, our mission is simple, to go out and make a difference. So how can you help? Visit the Wish Wall on GoMad2011.com and make a contribution today. Or find out how you can donate with a simple text message. Do it now so that we can continue to touch the lives of children with life-threatening conditions by granting their wishes.
Hello, my federal friends. It's the Geico Gecko, and I've got good news for you. I might even say it's some of the best news ever. Okay, well, definitely in the top three. The big news, Geico offers discounts for most federal employees GS7 or above, which is no doubt a lot of you out there. So you could be saving hundreds of dollars on your car insurance, all with a company that began over 70 years ago with the sole purpose of serving government employees like yourself. Yeah, that's right, Geico, the Government Employees Insurance Company. And today, well, we're the third largest car insurance company in the nation. And did you know about Geico's 97% customer satisfaction rate? Well, saving money tends to make people rather happy, I think. So congrats again to those federal employees GS7 or above. Welcome to the Savings Club. Mike?
Got it. Hey, folks, this is Mike Causey. The Gecko's right. Discounts are available for most federal employees GS7, the equivalent or above. Just call Geico at 1-800-947-AUTO, go to geico.com, or visit your local Geico office to see how much you could save.
Wake up and drive in with Tom Temin and Amy Morris on the Federal Drive. It's your early line on the day ahead from your trusted advisors. Tom and Amy give you a full view of the issues. Find out what your colleagues in other agencies are up to and what policy and congressional developments mean to you. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Johnny, welcome back to your turn. We've got about 10 minutes of talking time here, talking with Walton Francis. He's editor of the Washington Consumer Checkbook. And Checkbook, by the way, you may want to check in with your agency and see if the agency, in its wisdom, has subscribed to Checkbook for you. Walt likes the online version very much. I like the book, but he's technologically light years ahead of me. But it is a wonderful service, and it's smart for your federal agency, because since the government pays 70% of your premiums, they want you to be a smart consumer, and this is about the way to get as smart as they come. Well, we got one question left, and then we can sort of talk generalities. But the other day in the column, I mentioned that you can't be turned down for any reason in the federal employee health benefits program. So no matter what your lifestyle is, your habits, your age, your pre-existing condition, they've got to take you if you're otherwise eligible for the plan. So that's 90% of them or more. And a reader said they said, I was turned down because of a pre-existing condition. But she was talking about long-term care insurance, which is a whole nother ball game. The FEHBP is health insurance. Long-term care is exactly that. It pays for things that the FEHBP doesn't pay for, pays for things Social Security doesn't pay for.
Right. I mean, there's lots of kinds of insurance that, you know, if you go in as you're on your deathbed and try to buy a life insurance policy for $1 million, you probably won't get it.
Yeah.
And long-term care insurance, they call it underwriting.
Yes.
And, you know, if you're the federal program very occasionally has a total open season. So if you're a federal employee, and I'm not sure, but maybe even retiree, you can get it even with the pre-existing condition. But normally it's underwritten and you can't get in if you are close, you know, if you have some physical condition, for example, that makes you a likely to go into a nursing home kind of person, they're not going to take you.
But they just recently concluded an open season for long-term care. A lot of people signed up, not enough, but at least it may have gotten them thinking, and they may have signed up with a private company. But the beauty of the open season was that you only had to answer, I think, 4 underwriting questions. And you can buy it any time, but when you buy it now, for instance, you'd have to answer 7 or 10, and it's much harder to get in.
But for the health plans, for the real health insurance plans, 24 plus available in the D.C. area, and about that number in most cities around the country, if you change plans between now and December 12th during open season, the new plan must accept you come January 1st or the first pay period in January, depending whether or not you're retired or an employee. And even if you're in hospital on the day you switch plans, you are actually, the old plan covers you in that case. But the point is, you must be taken. You can have a heart condition, you can have cancer, you can have serious mental problems, a member of your family may need expensive therapies, doesn't matter. In fact, one of the advantages of open season is that you can anticipate, if you have a particular medical problem, you're likely to find that some plan other than the one you're in is the one best suited for you.
Well, and the thing we haven't touched on yet that you always stress, and it's so exactly right, is the catastrophic benefit. Because the reason people buy health insurance, even if they don't think about it, is for that worst possible day of your life, a horrible accident, a diagnosis of a major disease, a stroke, heart attack, what have you. And in that case, you want to be protected, and the idea is to look for a plan with what? A relatively low catastrophic limit?
Yeah, and since you need a low catastrophic limit, you need that low limit to be loophole-free. Some of them are not. For example, they may not include prescription drugs in that limit, or it may be a separate limit for the drugs. You probably need a low premium because after all, you're going to pay that expense for sure. There's no point joining a plan with a $5,000 catastrophic limit and a $10,000 premium. I'm making up that example.
Right.
Because you could be out of pocket $15,000 So you need to look for a combination of factors. And what we find, though, there's some spectacularly good catastrophic protections in the program, in particular in the high deductible and consumer-driven plans, where they tend to have, for a self-only enrollment, their limit usually is somewhere around $4,000 or $5,000. And that is loophole-free. They have low premiums, and you get a savings account. And you have the ability to add to the savings account if you're going to run into catastrophic expenses, thereby tax sheltering more of that spending. I mean, they're just spectacular. But there's nothing to sneeze at. Looking at the Blue Cross plans, for example, both basic and standard have a really superb catastrophic limit. The only thing wrong with standard is that the premium's pricey. But, you know, if you want that good protection, you will find it in this program.
Okay, that is really good advice. And I guess people, I mean, obviously an accident can happen at any time, and we all know horror stories of healthy 21-year-olds who've had stroke and heart attack. But you tend to think of older people as we get more creaky and have more needs and whatnot. So these, both the young, healthy people and the could benefit from the prices, and the older people could benefit from the actual coverage itself by looking at, you say, the high deductible consumer driven plans and both Blue Cross plans.
Yeah, and most of the HMO plans offer either an explicit catastrophic limit or, more commonly, a guarantee that you'll never be out of pocket more than your copayments. And if your copayments are like, you know, $30 a doctor's visit, well, how many doctor visits could you have in a year? I mean, you suppose you could have 100.
Yeah.
But even so, that's still
$30 is not bad. What are some of the plans maybe to stay away from because of the loophole?
The one I'm most concerned about is mail handler's value option, okay, which has a combination of loopholes such that, you know, you could be out of pocket. Our estimate for a self-only, general schedule person is around $17,000 out of pocket total is possible in that plan. And there's several others, you know, Compass, Rose, Foreign Service. Those are the good ones, not the bad ones.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where the most you can be out of pocket is $5,000 or $6,000, including premium. So there are big differences here. Another one that I urge people to consider not being in is mail handler's standard option. The premium has gotten very, very pricey. And there are, in fact, mail handlers has a great plan, mail handler's high deductible. So that, if you're going to be with mail handlers, that's the one to be in.
Yeah, looking at these different plans, you got to check out for the loopholes as well, and that's good to know about the mail handler's value high or
value option and standard option are plans that do not offer anywhere near the best catastrophic protection.
Those might be because of the low premiums, and of course Aetna too. Those might be good for people who are piggybacking on their private sector spouses. Health plan, the insurance, so they can have
the value insurance. Option, not the standard
the
option.
Value option.
Yes,
okay.
It's the lowest premium in the program, and there are people for whom it fits. You know, we talk a lot about there is no one best plan for everyone,
right,
and so on and so forth. And there's no plan that I recommend that's necessarily better for you in particular than some other plan I don't happen to recommend. But the main point is you have to make a conscious decision in the light of your own health conditions as to which one's going to work best for you.
And for people who haven't seen your book or the website, the way Checkbook rates these is very interesting. It shows you the premiums you're going to pay in one column, and then you go over and show what they might pay if they have a good year, a mediocre year, and a bad year in the health business. So that's your total costs for those scenarios, and then that's how you rank them. And there are all kinds of asterisks and signs that point out the loopholes and whatnot.
Yeah, and so we're looking at the bottom line, you know, money out of your wallet in a good year, as you said, average year, or bad year, and there are multi-thousand-dollar differences. Particularly as the years get bad.
Okay, and thank you very much, Walt Francis. We'll be back here next Wednesday. Hope everybody has a good holiday. Stay safe. Don't eat too much. I don't really mean that. But we'll see you next Wednesday. Bye.